My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another episode of Inside United. Race has been the subject of an ongoing conversation in America for over a century. That conversation has heated to an argument in the past few years, and with the trial concerning the death of George Floyd in today's headlines, the temperature does not seem to be cooling. So, I decided to make a special episode today. I've asked Dan Preston, pastor of our congregation in Charlotte, North Carolina, to interview Ernest Greer, a deacon in his area, about his own experience as a person of color, and to share his thoughts on how to approach issues of race from a Christian perspective.
Good morning, Ernest. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mr. Preston. Glad to be here. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. I'm here with Ernest Greer, who is a deacon in the Charlotte, North Carolina congregation and serves here locally. And actually, in fact, he serves up in the Hickory, North Carolina congregation. And he goes down to Columbia, South Carolina, and serves there, pretty much serves anywhere he can. And we certainly appreciate all the service that he does for our congregations here. Ernest, why don't you begin today by maybe telling everybody a little bit about your background, how you grew up, where you came to know and understand the truth.
Actually, through my dad, my father. He heard Mr. Armstrong in the late 60s, and that changed his life forever. He was probably in his early 50s, and prior to that, he had been a Sunday keeper, and all these holidays that the rest of the world are keeping, that's what he did. He was actually a deacon in a Baptist church. And gradually, over the years, he started to pull away from that. And he left that assembly. And we actually started having Sabbath services in our home and started keeping the feast at home. A couple years later, after I was born, he bought a church building, and we had services there. And we was taught and raised up in keeping God's Sabbath and holy days. And I thought that was very powerful and ironic. And I thought my dad was a strong man. And a strong-willed man to do that, because it takes a lot if your life has been patterned, walking this pattern for over 50-plus years, and all of a sudden you're exposed to God's word, and then you change. Mm. And I'm glad that God's truth caused my dad to react and put us where we need to be. So I was fortunate to grow up, and this is all I ever knew. But I also had to find out for myself, is this really true? And my dad used to say the same thing Mr. Armstrong used to say. He used to say, don't believe me, believe your Bible. And so as I began to study, I began to see that, okay, my dad is not crazy. He's not crazy. He does know what he's talking about. So, and it just went from there.
So, Ernest, over the past, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever, the United States has undergone a lot of changes in terms of diversity. You know, what kind of experience or what kind of changes have you experienced personally in that regard?
Well, the most obvious thing that comes to mind is something I never thought I would see in my lifetime, which is the first elect U.S. president to be of African-American descent, multi-biracial. And also now we also have a female vice president, Vice President Harris, who's also multiracial. I think she's Indian and Jamaican descent. Mm-hmm. And also the labor force. Mm. I work in the steel industry. Before that, I worked in the aluminum industry. And sure. I can actually say 15 to 20 years ago, it was pretty much male dominant mm-hmm. in leadership mm-hmm. positions, engineering, quality mm-hmm. control. But now, especially where I work at now, mm-hmm. you see a lot more German, Italian, Brazilian, okay. women of color. It is just multi-diversity. And they have some great analytical minds. And it's almost like I'm starting to see the company I work for, they're starting to usher out the baby boomers and okay. try to, I guess, push this Generation X.
Know. And so certainly baby boomers are starting to age out, yes. getting to retirement. So, you know, yes. there's a whole new generation.
Yes, sir.
And as you say, it's a much more, you know, diverse backgrounds and yes. culture and ethnicities that this Generation X and even, you know, into the millennial generation we're yes. seeing now. Than what we've ever seen, I think. As a deacon, you know, serving in our congregation as you do and serving a variety of cultures, you know, what kind of things have you picked up? What lessons have you learned that you would, you know, pass on to future generations serving in that sort of role?
Well, when I look at America, America is a melting pot. It's a land of country of many immigrants. So I feel it's important to learn about other cultures so we can relate and be sympathetic towards how they feel. Mm-hmm. Because you can have one culture look at the same issue and see something totally different. You even see that now with scripture. If we have a vivid understanding of what people have been through, we can understand their values and their history, then we can relate with them that much better. We can come to know why they feel the way they feel on a particular issue.
I think that's a good point. It's, you know, it's about education, understanding where people come from. You know, my former job, I used to travel to Asia a lot, and just understanding how people talked back and forth. Sometimes you would ask a yes or no question, and the answer would be no, but the first response I might receive, you know, from somebody of an Asian background was yes. And it didn't mean that the answer is yes. I meant, yes, I understand your question.
Yes.
And the answer to the question is no.
Yes,
so to your point, yeah, just understanding how people communicate with one another, I think, is big.
And one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
During the process of my short time of being ordained as a deacon, I've learned how important it is to model and demonstrate compassion and encourage the brethren, sort of the iron sharpening iron. And just being available at times just to listen to someone who is going through some particular trial or circumstance, just to be that ear. Because sometimes people just want you to listen to them, you know, and that's one thing I've learned through my experience as being a deacon.
I think that's a good point. People want to be heard, and they want to be understood, you know, and to truly understand people. You've got to sit down and you know, I got to keep my own mouth shut sometimes and just hear what people have to say. So that's vitally important. You know, we live in a time when understanding biblical truths have become fragmented. You know, there's concern over, you know, white supremacism. What can people do to better understand what God says about diversity, particularly, you know, what Paul writes in Galatians 3:28, and this is from the English Standard Version. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus."
When I look at that scripture, it reminds me that God is no respecter of persons. That's the first thing that pops in my mind. And once God opens your eyes, he calls you, and you repent of your sins, you're baptized, God's given you this Holy Spirit, then you become a part of the household of God. You know, that reminds me of last year at the Feast of Tabernacles in Gatlinburg. I had a discussion with a minister from the United Church of God, Mr. David Mills, and he answered one of the questions that I had for a long time, and that was, why did God not create everybody the same color? Maybe it would limit some of the hate or the fear of the unknown in the heart. And one thing he said to me that stuck out in his sermon, he said, God could have made all trees apple trees or all flowers roses, but instead he chose not to, because God is the God of variety. And that's something that's always stuck with me, and that's something that I would like to tell and let people know.
Yeah, certainly God is our creator, and you know, we aren't all created the same. Yes. If we were, you know, we'd have we'd be pretty boring.
Yes.
You know, and also the other thing to think about that is too is you know, if people from one background, you know, if they tend to struggle significantly with a certain issue, and people from another background struggle, you know, with, or don't struggle with that issue, if everybody was with the same background, everybody had that same issue.
Exactly.
So sometimes, you know, people coming from different backgrounds, whether it's a different, you know, race or different upbringing or a different economic class or different, you know, part of the country you lived in, whatever, you look at things at things differently. But if we all look at things the same way, you know, it would probably exacerbate the problems that we do have.
I know as a kid, I was always asking my dad, why this, why that? And one of the things I used to ask him was about, you know, God's love for mankind and being in his kingdom. I was just a young child. And one thing he said that stuck with me, he said, don't worry about ethnic backgrounds or racial or gender. He said, God loves all of us. When you have his Holy Spirit and you're led by his Holy Spirit after that process of conversion, he said, you've been grafted in. Mm-hmm. And that was his short answer to me. And that always stuck with me also.
Yeah.
And it also reminds me of a Scripture in Acts 10 and 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.
It's a good scripture to remember. It's not about the color of our skin or, you know, how many dollars we have in our bank account or what country, you know, we wind up paying our taxes to. It's to you know, whom we ultimately bow, you know, God and our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. Do you feel there are any particular challenges for people of color to face when they read what the Bible says about the Sabbath and the holy days and any other related biblical doctrines?
I can say yes and no. I can say yes because I believe people of color, a lot of them are in jobs that they don't want to be in, maybe low-income jobs, single mothers. I really believe they might be put in a situation or they're in a situation that they want to do the right thing, because I have actually a younger sister, actually two younger sisters, and they was raised as I was, but yet they work on the Sabbath. Mm. But that's putting food on the table. Mm. But I also know that God's people share the same challenges. Mm. You know, you are forced, once you know the truth, you have to react. Mm. God's truth requires action. So many who exercise their faith in God's word risk rejection by family and friends. A revealing of God's truth may result in the loss of a job or being unable to find one because of God's Sabbaths and holy days. But the most important thing is to seek first the kingdom of God. And don't worry about everything else, because it will be added unto you. He will provide for you. And I truly believe that. He's done it for me. It was a time, especially when I was living in Tennessee, I think I was around the age of 29. And prior to that, since I was born to about age 25, I had always kept the Sabbath. I always attended church services, but I got a good paying job, and that job forced me to work on Sabbath. So I only had one weekend off out the month. And I should have been upfront. That's something I wish I would have did, to letting my employer know that I couldn't work on the Sabbath, but I wanted to get that job. It was good money, something I wasn't accustomed to. Mm. I could do what I need to do, provide for my family, and help my parents out. That's something I always wanted to do after watching my parents struggle and raise 14 kids. And I just want to be able to do something for them. Mm. So I took that job, and that's probably the worst thing I could have done, looking back. But if I would have been up front, I probably wouldn't have got the job, but I would have been seeking first the kingdom of God. And I should have been way more advanced in knowledge than I did, but I took a break off. I took a break off, and I regret that still to this day. But over the years, I just end up quitting. I come back home, and I did the same thing. Mm. I got another good paying job while I was working on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. But then I had to just start thinking. I said, what if something happened to me and I was to die tonight, tomorrow? Knowing I know the truth, I know right from wrong, I know what I should be doing. And that really, really scared me. It really did. Because I started thinking, would I be in the first resurrection? I doubt it. Where would I come up? Mm. Would Christ say to me, you knew what you're supposed to have been doing, why wouldn't you do it? Why didn't you do it? That just does something to me. So I immediately got on my knees. I prayed. I'm telling you, I prayed and prayed. And I still didn't have the faith that I needed. I hadn't been baptized yet. I still didn't have that faith. But I knew one thing. I need to get back in the church. I need to get back to keeping God's Sabbath, his holy days, get back to my Bible study, and get back to learning and studying God's word. And one of the things I said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, if you ever make a way for me to where I can attend service, Sabbath services, I said I never ever miss a Sabbath service, and unless I'm sick or just something that prevents me from totally getting there and I just have no way or any circumstances, I will fight to get the services. And the Lord made a way, and he made a way that I'd never have expected. I make my own hours. Wow. I got a new position. I make my own hours. They don't care what time I come in, what time I leave, as long as I have my 40 hours in by the end of the week. I'm off every Sabbath, every holy day. And it's just tremendous on what God will do. It's just tremendous. I still can't believe it sometimes. The work is a little bit more challenging, but I can deal with that. Sure, I can deal with that. Sure. But I really thank God. Yeah. And so maybe that's something that can help somebody else. you know, along the way.
We have an awesome God, and you know, yes, we just put Him first and put it in our heart to obey Him. And like you said, man, He makes a way.
Yes, sir.
You know, in regards to biblical truth, is there anything specifically that you feel that, you know, people of color or people of different, you know, ethnic backgrounds or even, you know, economic backgrounds within our country, do you think there's any one particular biblical truth that people really need to hear and understand today?
I think people of color need to hear the same thing as all people. That is, God is love. You know, He loves us. And I'm not talking about just any old love. I'm talking about the agape love that you did a sermon about a couple of weeks ago. You know, and we should love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and also our neighbor as we do ourselves. And if we do that, we exhibit that type of love, then we can't go wrong. We will love each other. We won't be this hate in what you see on the news. And sometimes I just get sick and tired. I rarely even turn on the watch news. Yes, I like to stay updated, but, sure, you know, it just gets overwhelming sometimes. So I just choose to distance myself from that. But if you have that type of love where you will lay down your life for your brother or your sister, the average Joe on the street, or somebody you don't know, even that person that you might not get along with at work, if you will lay your life down for him, no greater love. That's the type of love that we need.
There's some trials beginning here in the United States over the tragic death of George Floyd and others. What can the people in the Church of God Fellowship better understand? What can they do to better understand maybe what led up to this? And what can we personally do to help the situation, you know, and be a light of truth?
I think as more police killings of unarmed people of color has been publicized, it has put a spotlight on racism in the United States. It shows that it still exists. And sadly, I don't foresee it going away anytime soon. But I believe it's something we all can do in the church, and that is pray without ceasing. You know, we are expected to be lights. You know, Israel was intended to be a light for all nations, pattern itself as Israel, after mm-hmm. Israel, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And people would see how God was blessing Israel, and they'd be like, man, we need to find out who this God is. We need to inquire of who this God mm-hmm. is. So I just think we need to pray, continue to pray, pray that His kingdom come.
As a part of the body of Christ, what one thing, you know, would you say to people today as we deal with just all these sorts of issues that divide our nation?
As our nation becomes increasingly divided on certain issues, whether it's race, gender, politics, I do believe we need to be aware of what's going on around us, but I don't believe we should just dwell on those things, because it has a strong probability to shift the focus of what we really need to be focusing on, and that's God's kingdom. You know, a house divided cannot stand. And one of my favorite scriptures is 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I just choose not to partake in those things that I feel would cause division among my brethren, or even sow discord. I have enough problems trying to remove the beam from my own eyes, so, and work out my own salvation, so that's what I choose to focus on.
Can't say anything to that, but amen. Well, Ernest, it's been good chatting with you today. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us, and appreciate all that you do to serve all of our congregations here in the Carolinas.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I want to thank Dan Preston for guest hosting this episode, and I want to thank Ernest Greer for sharing his story and perspective. Thank you for joining us today on Inside United. Please tell your friends about our podcast. You can contact us at podcast@ucg.org. That's podcast@ucg.org. We could be found through your favorite Apple or Android podcasting app. We're also on Spotify. And of course, you could reach us on our website at ucg.org. Go to the main menu bar and click or tap on podcast. Have a great week. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.